Every day we say Shema. We say Shema two times a day, at least. Shacharis, Maariv, before we go to sleep. And there's a fundamental difference between the first paragraph of Shema and the second paragraph of Shema. In the first paragraph of Shema, we mention three things. We say, V'shinantam levanecha v'dibartabam. You should teach your children, you should teach your students, teach the Torah. Then we say, Ukshartem la'os al yadecha. Wear tefillin. And then we conclude by saying, Ukhsaftam ha'mezuzos b'sach v'sharecha. You have a mezuzah on your doorpost. You teach Torah, you wear tefillin, and you have a mezuzah. Okay. In the second parsha of Shema, in the one, the paragraph that starts Vehaya, we switch the order. First, we say, Ukshartem osam la'os al yadchem. Wear tefillin. Then we say, V'limartem osam es b'neichem. Teach the Torah. And then, we say to have a mezuzah. And the question is, why is it that in the first paragraph, the order is Torah, then tefillin, and in the second paragraph, it's tefillin, and then Torah? And perhaps the answer is based on one of the most fundamental, important ideas in kiruv, in education, in influencing others. And that is one way for a person to learn is by studying from books. You open up a book, you read, you have a teacher, the teacher gives over the information to you, and you learn. You learn from someone, you learn from something. That's one way to go ahead and learn. But the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos and Daf Zayin that Gadol Shimusho Yosem Elimudo, that even greater way of learning is through experiencing. By watching a Talmud Chacham, by watching people, seeing how they act, see how they conduct their Shabbos table, see that the way that they speak, see what their values are. By being around the person, by experiencing that, in some way, that's greater, it's an ability to learn things in a deeper and a better way than just reading from a book or hearing the information being transferred over to you. And this, besides going in the direction of us learning, is also fundamental in us giving over to others. The way that we educate our children, the way that we educate others, is very much in them experiencing the way that we're acting. How are we davening? How are we interacting with other people? How do we interact with our wives? What do we get excited about? Where's our energy? Do we have ups? Do we have downs? How are we living? Not just, I gave a great shiur. I gave a great amount of information over. Now you have notes and you could say it over. How do I live? When people look at us, everyone here, because everyone here is going into Kiruv. Whether it's going to be on a college campus or it's going to be in your own house with your family, with your wife, children, your neighbors, we're always influencing other people. And a major way of people being influenced is by observing, looking at you and saying, oh, this is how a person of Torah acts. And I learned from them how I should act as well. And we're influencing all the time in that way. The Gemara tells a story of Bilga. The Gemara at the end of Masechta Sukkah. That there were 24 mishmaros in the Beis HaMikdash, 24 watches, people taking turns doing the service. And one of the families, Bilga, the family of Bilga, had a daughter. Her name was Miriam, the Gemara says. And she went off to Derech. And she intermarried. She married one of the officers of the Greek king. Okay, pretty bad. And the Gemara says that when the Greeks came into the second Beis HaMikdash, when they entered in, she went over to the Mizbeach, she went over to the altar and gave a nice big kick on the top of the Mizbeach. Okay? And because of that, the Gemara says that the whole entire family, all the people that were involved in the service of the Beis HaMikdash, were penalized. The Gemara lists which different punishments they got they weren't able to do like everyone else. And the Gemara says, that's not fair! Since when do we hold people accountable for the acts of their child? And the Gemara says, yes, It's true, we do. Because the only way that she would have learned what her values towards the Beis HaMikdash was if she heard those types of values in her home. Meaning, it was the family's influence that she heard at the Shabbos table. People say, the Beis HaMikdash is like this, or the Avodah is like this, the service is like this, they were negative. So that was the only way that she would have this value system that she could just walk out and kick the Mizbeach. No respect at all. That had to have come from the home. And therefore they were punished. The Gemara doesn't say that they were punished because she intermarried. If you would have asked me, that's even worse. The Greek officer, that the family wasn't held accountable for. They were held accountable for the value system, the sensitivity that the daughter had towards the avoda, towards the service in the Beis HaMikdash. That she could just kick it and walk out. She even uttered some words that weren't appropriate. That is from an experience of the home. It's not about the Dvar Torah that you say at your Shabbos table, as much as it's the excitement that you have at Shabbos. It's so exciting. This is amazing. When you see someone davening, and someone watches you davening, and the person is davening with a sitter, and they're shuckling, and they're all into it, and you see this is a, wow, look at this, something special over here. What is going on over here? This person's talking to God. There's something over there. It's amazing. Story of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim's mother died when he was very, very young. And someone once brought him his mother's sitter. And he saw how torn it was, how well used it was. And he saw, wow, the amount of tears that must have gone into my mother's prayer for me to get me to where I am. There's a certain experience when you see people, when you see a parent, when you see someone else davening. Wow, that's the way that I should daven. If you see someone with an iPhone davening, you know, you can't even kiss it afterwards. Like, what type of experience is that? What type of influence are we giving towards others? Right? There's a certain tzura, there's a certain way of prayer that when you give over to your children, to the people who are you're teaching, the people you're trying to influence, it has an effect. And we have to always be cognizant of that. If we come into Shabbos, we're excited. Wow, this is going to be an amazing Shabbos. We're positive, we're upbeat. We give over that energy. We give over that feeling towards others. If we show up on time to Shacharis, alright, I'm not half asleep, I'm excited, we're going to daven now. This is going to be a great opportunity. I'm excited about coming to Seder on time. Let's get into it. Not like, okay, so how was your night's sleep? Did you sleep okay? You know, you sit down, we're excited. This is great. That influences other people. That energy. You speak to your wife, you speak to your parents, you speak to your friends with adinut, with a sensitive way, in a nice way, pleasant way. Other people look at that and say, wow, I want to have a home like that. That's the way that I want to educate. That's the way that I want to live. Much more than the beautiful Dvar Torah that you said at the table. We have to realize, we have to recognize that the way we're living is totally influencing other people's experience in a tremendous way. We have to step up to that. We have to go ahead, and sometimes, maybe it's not me. Maybe I am not really on this level yet of acting this way. But I know that people are around me. I'm having major impact on so many people. You walk down the street, there's so many people here, not Jewish, not religious. They see a person that looks Jewish, wearing a kippah on his head, and he's walking around, and he's speaking inappropriately, he's yelling on the phone. Okay, well, that's what people like that do. But when you're nice, and you're speaking appropriately, having a nice conversation, dressed appropriately, wow, look at this person, look what he looks like, a certain dignified manner, we're able to influence on an enormous way. So sometimes it's not maybe us, but if we recognize how much of an impact we're having, we're able to step up the game. We're able to start davening in a certain way. We're able to start appreciating Shabbos in a certain way. The Rashi says that the pasuk right before, in the second parsha of Shema, the Torah says that if you don't keep the mitzvos, va'avadetem mehera me'al ha'aretz hatova asher Hashem nosein lachem, Hashem is going to kick you out of Eretz Yisrael. And immediately it says, put on tefillin. Rashi explains that the Torah is coming to teach us that even outside of Eretz Yisrael, even when you get kicked out, you still have to wear tefillin. You still have to do the mitzvos. That parasha, those psukim, are speaking about a time when we're not in Eretz Yisrael. We're in the galus, we're in the exile. Our next door neighbor is not keeping Shabbos. The person on the street, you have to walk out with your eyes closed and ears shut. The influence that we're having all over the place is horrible. You can't just go ahead and teach the Torah and then wear the tefillin. The first parasha of Shema is in a perfect world. You're in Eretz Yisrael, things are great. You go ahead and you teach your children, you teach your talmidim, you teach your wife, you teach your family, your friends, and you wear tefillin also, and you also wear, you have a mezuzah on your doorpost. But when you're in the galus, when everything around you, there's nowhere else to get experience from, you can't go ahead out in the street and learn from the beautiful Sfardi Makolet man who's a tzaddik atzum that you could just, wow, look at this guy, he's incredible, and just grow from him. You just don't see it. It's not around. How are the children, how are the people going to learn? Just by teaching the Torah? No way. First, you have to wear tefillin, and then you can teach the Torah. When you're wearing the tefillin and it's wrapped all over your body, it's all over you, it's so clear that Hashem is on you. You're excited about Hashem. You're excited about the mitzvos. It's nicker. It's recognizable in all of your actions. Symbolized by the tefillin wrapped on your arms, and your head, on your body. It's there. Wow. He's a tefillin person. And then that person comes along and teaches the Torah, gives over the Torah. That experience will allow the Torah to be given over to generation and passed on forever. We have to realize, we have to recognize that every single one of our actions are, and for sure will be in the future, letting other people grow. And we have to step it up. If we're not excited about the Shabbos, we have to get excited about the Shabbos. We have to work now. How are we going to get excited about Shabbos? We go into Shabbos, we're excited. What are we going to do about it? We don't need external means to get us excited about Shabbos. We're going to get excited about Shabbos because of Shabbos. We get excited about the mitzvahs because of the mitzvahs. Davening because of davening. We have to work towards that. Besides for ourselves, but also for our influence on others. And Be'ezah Hashem, through all of us, learning from each other. On a positive note, with all that energy, we'll all be able to elevate others and all the people of Klal Yisrael. And we zocha to the Mashiach. Here we remain.